study, we talked about being delivered from sin. And in our study, we discovered that, well, we didn't just discover it, but we did talk about it through our study. Many of us know this, but we discussed our need for a Savior. We discussed the fact that there's not one of us who could ever please God or do all the things that we're supposed to do on our own. It's simply impossible. There's no way that we would be able to do that. There's no way that we could keep the entire law perfectly. There's no way that any of us in this room pick up this book, read it front to back, and keep it perfectly. We know that we can't do that. We needed a Savior. You know, even God knows that. God knew when he gave the law to the Israelite people that they weren't going to be able to keep that law. There was no way that they were going to keep every single law that he gave them. So he instituted a process in which when the people had sinned, when they had broken the law, they brought a sacrifice to the temple. And that sacrifice was to atone for their sins. He knew they were going to have to do that. He didn't even question. He just said, here's the rules. When you break those rules, if something happens, this is what you do to atone for your sins. Now, one of the things that we must realize in Scripture, we even found this week, one of the Scriptures we read was Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the work of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So that's what the law was for. All the laws were there. He wanted them to follow them, but when they couldn't, right? When they tried and didn't reach the mark, it made them conscious of the fact that they were falling short of God's law. The law gives us, as people, the chance to realize that we are not holy, that we didn't reach the mountaintop, right? But a problem ensued. Here's one of the problems that happened. The people decided that, well, when we do something wrong, we just take a sacrifice, right? Well, then why don't we just do what we want and then take the sacrifice? I'm trying hard over here, and when I mess up, I have to take a sacrifice. Well, why don't I just do what I want, take the goat, and then we're fine. And this became a process by which they lived by. And so that's not exactly what God wanted from them. More than once in the Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. You've heard it said before, and you may even be one of those people that said it. But they'll say, well, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. But what that really means is, I know I'm getting ready to do something that I'm either not supposed to do or that it's going to bother somebody, but I'd rather go ahead and do it and try to fix it later. That's really what that means. I mean, there might be two guys out doing something, and one of them go, man, it's going to make my wife mad. You go, what do you want to call her? You go, it's going to be way easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Right? And what that means is, I know I'm doing something I probably shouldn't, but I'll deal with the consequences. This is what the Israelite people were doing. They knew they were disobeying. They knew they were doing things that God did not want them to do, and they said, but it's a whole lot easier to just take a goat up to the priest than it is to try to follow the law. Perfect story to put this in light for you. Great example of this is King Saul. The very first king the Israelites ever had. In fact, they weren't supposed to have a king. They were supposed to just serve God. And they kept saying, hey, everybody else has a king. We want a king. And God said, I'm your king. I'm your God. Well, we want an earthly king. And he said, all right, that's what you want. You're not going to like it. And they went and found a king, and he had Samuel anoint King Saul. And King Saul really wasn't a man after God's heart, but he was the man for the job. And he takes the job. And at one point, Samuel has to give a job to Saul. God had a job for him. And if you're the king of the Israelites, you are to follow what God tells you to do. Well, he told Saul, when I brought the Israelite children out of Egypt, the Amalekite people did not treat us right. They didn't give us safe passage. They didn't help us. And I always said they were going to pay for that. So Saul, it's not, now's the time. You are to take together the armies of the Israelite people. You are to attack the Amalekites. And when you attack the Amalekites, you are to leave nothing. Everybody dies. what you're supposed to do. I don't want you to keep people alive. I don't want you to steal their money. I don't want you to keep them their animals. Go and destroy everything. Well, Saul goes and does his thing with his army. Samuel gets alerted by God that there's a problem. He says, you need to go and see Saul. As Samuel approaches Saul, he sees a bunch of animals. And he hears a bunch of animals. And he sees an altar that Saul has built for himself. And they're sacrificing things. And as Samuel gets close, he says, hey, Saul. And Saul is happy as can be. And he says, hey, look, I did what God told me to do. And Samuel says, it's weird because I feel like I can hear a bunch of sheep. I hear a lot of animals. Oh, well, some of the guys kept the really good ones because we're going to sacrifice them to God. Let me tell you what Samuel said to him. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22. He said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Samuel looked at him and he said, Saul, you don't get to be king anymore. You're done. God says you're out. You have to be obedient. This isn't a game where you go and do what you want and then ask for forgiveness. This isn't a game to where you go live how you want, keep what you want, but as long as you chop up a goat and burn it on an altar, God's going to go, oh, well, I mean, he did sacrifice part of it to me. See, Saul felt okay. I really believe that when Samuel approached him, Saul thought that he had done a good job. I think because the practice of the way the Israelite people were living, that you just got to do what you want as long as you give a sacrifice, that Saul thought, yeah, I know we're supposed to kill all these, but he's certainly not going to be mad if we keep the really good ones and then sacrifice some of them to him. I mean, that makes sense. And the guys go, I mean, that's what we do all the other time, so why don't we do that? And so when Samuel came along, he says, hey, man, look what I did. And Samuel goes, I am looking at what you did, and that's completely wrong. But we sacrificed. But we went through the motions. Isn't that make it okay? And he says, no. Why didn't you just obey? Why didn't you just do what God told you to do? I don't know if you see the correlation. This sounds really familiar to me. I believe in the world that we live in today, people feel like they can live however they want from day to day. They can say what they want, do what they want, go where they want, treat people however they want, as long as you go through the motions. As long as you go to church sometimes, put a little bit in the offering, and say a little prayer for forgiveness, that you can go and do whatever you want to do. And that is a perfect representation of what Saul did. Saul got the command, did whatever he wanted, and apologized later. Saul decided that it was going to be far easier to ask for forgiveness than it was permission. Well, he wasn't going to get permission. He had already been told no. It was disobedience. That's the problem we have today. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, obey. He doesn't say, if you love me, go through the motions. If you love me, you'll at least pretend. And that's kind of what the church has come down to. To where we behave like the Israelites, to where we do whatever we want to do as long as we come to church on Sunday. Now, we know that we can't keep every single rule. We know that. We know there's certain things we're not supposed to think. Well, certain things we're not supposed to say to people. Ways that we shouldn't treat people. We know we shouldn't hold on to anger. We know we shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't be gluttons. That's in there too. Right? We know there's all kinds of stuff that we're not supposed to do. But it doesn't mean you don't try. See, that's the problem. People look at me and say, well, nobody's perfect. You're right. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. And that's what we kind of done. We kind of gave up on even trying. And we just thought, you know what? It's a lot easier to just say a prayer every night than it is to try to be good. That's not acceptable. It's just not. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but then he sent the Holy Spirit to us to help us. So just going through the religious motions is never going to bring us closer to Christ-likeness. I want to tell you something that might be a shocker to some of you. You might, if you want to write something down today, this would be the one. For Christians, forgiveness is not the goal. And listen to me. For a Christian, forgiveness is not the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. Forgiveness is how you start the journey to Christ-likeness. But forgiveness is not the goal. See, too many people in the world, forgiveness was the goal. I just want to be forgiven. Just want to go to heaven. And if they think if they get that part done, they feel pretty good about it. Hey, I asked Jesus to forgive me. I'm good, right? Well, I mean, for right now. What do you do now? Are you going to go on to be like Christ? Because that's the only thing that proves to me that you were sincere when you asked for forgiveness. If you sincerely ask for forgiveness, you're supposed to say, Christ, would you be my Savior? Forgive me, and be my Lord, which means tell me what to do. Be in charge of me. So if you're a Christian today, I want you to understand that, yes, when we preach, we say you need to be forgiven of your sins, and if you want to go to heaven, you need to accept Christ. But that's not the end goal. That's the start. Too many people treat what should be the beginning as the goal. The beginning is to be forgiven of your sins by Jesus Christ and to accept him, to receive the Holy Spirit. Then you begin the process of obedience, which takes you towards holiness. It's been said that holiness is obedience to the will of God. The more obedient to the will of God that we are, the more holy we become. That's the process. To accept Jesus Christ, forgiveness, the start, and then to become more holy. Now, you and I both know the only way that we can become more like Christ is not by keep asking for forgiveness. Nope. I'm not going to become more like God by bringing more goats to sacrifice. It didn't work that way. The only thing that makes me more Christ-like is when I'm obedient, when I do what God wants me to do, because Jesus always did what God wanted him to do. So the only way you can mirror that is by doing the same thing. By doing the same thing. Obedience is far better than a sacrifice. What do you think God really wanted in the Old Testament? If you ask him, there's a gentleman here who will keep every single rule that you've given him because he loves you and he wants to follow the rules. Or there's one here that he's probably going to break the rules, but when he does, he'll say he's sorry. I mean, when you put it in those terms, it's so simple. If I put it in the illustration of a relationship, if you're in a relationship with someone, we all know that you'd much rather somebody love you and treat you the way you should be treated than to treat you terribly and keep saying they're sorry. Which one do you want? It's simple. So God says to you, I'd much rather you just be obedient than keep coming to me and going through the motions and think that makes it okay. Sacrifice, or what I would call it in today's terms, going through the motions, is what makes us think we're independent. We're not independent. As Christian people, you are not independent. You are wholly dependent upon God. But as long as you think throwing a couple dollars in an offering plate and sitting in a church pew and reading your Bible once a month makes you a Christian, then every other day of the year you're going to be independent. You're going to live your life on your own, and you're going to do the tip of the cap and throw a few dollars at God, and you think it's going to make him go, oh, well, okay. I wondered where you were, as long as you're here once in a while. That's kind of how we think this is. Pay a toll just every once in a while, and then I drive my car where I want. We need to do what George Whitefield once said. We need to realize when he said, I am nothing, I have nothing, and I can do nothing without God. We need to realize that we are dependent upon him. Not to put a separation between us, but it's like I'm doing him a favor when I come to church or give him a sacrifice or sing a song for him. And as long as I do that once in a while, he kind of lets me go. Because that's exactly how the Israelite people felt. They felt as long as I go to the temple, give a goat, give a dove, give a chicken, whatever it is, that I can go do what I want to do. And I think that's how the church acts today. Because they'll tell you, well, I go to church. Oh, do you? It doesn't matter if you put more in the offering plate than anybody else has ever put in an offering plate. It will not make you a Christian. It didn't matter how many calves or goats or white doves they sacrificed at the temple. It did not make them true servants of God. True servants of God are sincere, and they love God, and they do everything they can to be obedient to Him. Doesn't mean that you won't have to bring a sacrifice sometimes. Doesn't mean that you don't need to ask for forgiveness, but you're not using that forgiveness. You're not using the sacrifice, right? You're not dependent upon those things. You are dependent upon Christ. And there is a massive difference. I realize that people struggle with obedience, but you have to surrender to Him. That's a difficult thing. And I know it's just easier to say you're sorry. I know that. I know it's far easier to every night when you go to bed to say, God, I don't know whatever I did or said today. You know, please forgive me if I die honestly. Please let me go to heaven. And then you're done and you feel all better and you go to sleep. People struggle with all kinds. People struggle with obedience, with who they're going to marry, where they're going to live, how they're going to live, where we spend our time, who we spend that time with. We struggle obeying with our money, with our friends, with how we raise our kids, where to work, where to go to church, where to go to school. There's all kinds of things in our lives that we want to make that choice. God, I'll do what I want to do, and if I feel bad, I'll throw you a sacrifice. You know how many people that I've known in my lifetime who came to church only when something was wrong? And as soon as that situation was remedied, they disappeared. It's exactly what the Israelite people did. When they did something wrong, they brought a sacrifice. As soon as it was taken care of, they went back to their old life. We do the same thing. God, I haven't talked to you for a while, but I'm really jammed up here. Promise I'll never do this again if you get me out of this. As soon as it gets us out of it, I don't talk to him again for a month, 2 months, 3 months. Now, I know I shouldn't have said that and done that, but now we're having a real problem, and I can't afford to lose my job. If you'll please help me keep my job, then I'll start going to church, and they'll come to church for a week or two, and then that situation's remedied, and we're gone. You think God just would rather you be obedient all the time? Or throw him a little something every once in a while? It's not that hard to figure out. If you have your Bibles, open them up. Start at the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right? I'm not even going to read all this to you. Believe me. I don't have 3 months. This book, if you look at it, this is not like the other books of the Bible. This isn't a story. This isn't a bibliography. This isn't a set of beautiful poems. This is a Jewish rule book. I encourage you to read it sometime, and then you'll realize a little something about holiness. And you'll realize how difficult it is to keep the rules. In fact, you'll love the rules you have. But if you read this, this is not a stimulating read. In fact, if you have insomnia, I recommend Leviticus. But this is what you can read. It's just rules. Rule after rule after rule. And this is what they were supposed to keep. And in there, it also tells them, if you break this rule, this is the offering, and this is the sacrifice, and this is what you're supposed to do. God wanted them to be holy. He wanted them to be separate from everybody else around them. He said, you're my holy people. Follow these rules, and you will be my holy people. Now, did he want them to actually try to do this or to just bring the sacrifice? Which one was going to make them a holy, separate people? You think he said, I want you to go live amongst everybody else, look just like them, act just like them, but at least on Sundays, bring me a goat. People, that's absurd. And you know it's absurd. What he said was, I want you to do everything you can to follow these guidelines. But I also understand that people fail. And when you do, I want you to understand that it's costly to fail. And shed blood is what pays for the price of sin. And so when you fail, I want you to understand that something's going to die. Something has to have its blood shed because of our sin. And so bring that sacrifice and do it with a sincere heart. And so that's what that sacrifice was for. It wasn't an excuse, but what the people did was this. They stopped trying. And they just decided to make the sacrifices instead. Now, you can look at the rest of your Bible, and you can answer this question for yourself. Do you think God wants you to follow this book, and when you fail, talk to him and ask for forgiveness? Or do you think he would rather you do whatever you want, and then just every once in a while ask Him to forgive you. People, it's the same. It's exactly the same. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What they did was they used the sacrifice as a substitute for obedience. A sacrifice that was brought to God with a contrite heart, that was looked upon with favor. Not a sacrifice that was brought to Him as a substitute for obedience. If I bring a sacrifice to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. He says, yeah, you're forgiven. But if I just come to Him and I say, here's chicken, since I wasn't supposed to. And that's how people view it. That's exactly how people view it, their prayer for forgiveness. That's how they view going to church. Hey, sorry, what did a preacher say? Please, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. Hope I can go to heaven. See you next week. But that's exactly how people view church. It's like a child. Instead of really coming to God and being sincere and being contrite and saying, I want to be obedient. Let me tell you something, and this is very, very sad. We must truly accept Christ's sacrifice for us through faith and then follow it with obedience. Jesus' sacrifice for you was not just a substitution for your obedience. It was an atonement for your sins. Understand that. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't do that so you could now be disobedient. So you could just plead His blood whenever you did what you wanted. To flippantly use Jesus' death on the cross as a substitute for your obedience. Is that why He died? No. He died that you might be forgiven. And remember, forgiveness is not the goal, it's just the beginning. He died that you might be forgiven, that you could be holy through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd much rather you be obedient. If we're honest, I think we're all thankful that Jesus died for us. But I think we've all used it as a substitute for our disobedience before. We've all done that. Like we've all done things that we knew we shouldn't have done, but we knew going into it that we were just going to pray for forgiveness later. Ask yourself, how do you think God felt about that prayer? Do you think it was met with a, well, absolutely, you're forgiven, go on and do what you were doing. How easy is it for you to forgive somebody when you know they're not sorry? How many times have I used the illustration where you had two kids in the room? You said, tell your sister you're sorry, you called them dumb. And they said, sorry, I called you dumb, stupid. Right? And you say, no. That. And how many times were you forced to give an apology that you didn't mean? Right? And what do we say? We say things like, well, sound like you're sorry. That's going to help. We do that every week. We act like we're sorry. We sing like we're sorry, right? Read our Bible like we're sorry. Are we? Are you really sorry? What Jesus says is, you know, I'd much rather you just be obedient. That's the obedience that will still involve you coming to church. It will still involve you reading your Bible and praying, all those things, but it's accompanied with a sincere heart. After King Saul came King David. And King David gives you a very good contrast to what happened. King David came along, and what happened when Saul told Samuel, when Saul disobeyed and Samuel talked to him, he said, what God really wanted out of you, right, was obedience, right? And I'm telling you the same thing. What God really wants out of you is obedience, but King David is a contrast because he was disobedient, right? King David disobeyed. You know the story. King David got on the roof of the palace. He saw Bathsheba. He had an affair, had her husband killed. King David did terrible things. And just like Saul, Samuel went to Saul and said, hey, Saul, you're being disobedient. Prophet Nathan came to David and said, David, you're being disobedient. Here's the difference. Told you what Saul said. Saul said, but I made a sacrifice. Right? Let me read you what David said. Psalm 51:16-17. He said, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart that you, God, will not despise. David gets it. David knew exactly what God wanted. He wanted a broken spirit, a surrendered will. And now you know too. It's one of the things about coming to church and being a Christian. The more you know, the more responsibility you have. You might wish you skipped today. You might wish you stayed home, because now you know that God doesn't just want you to come to church and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry about the way I lived this week." He wants you to come to church and say, "God, I really didn't live this week the way I was supposed to. And I'm sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Would you please help me to behave differently this week?" Not, "God, I'm sorry. Probably going to do it again, but I'll ask forgiveness then." Too many of us live that way. Too many of us live from day to day, and we just use Jesus' blood as a substitute for our obedience. Every time I do something I'm not supposed to, I just remember Jesus died for me, and it'll be okay. If you really remember that Jesus died for you, then why don't you also remember that he said, "If you love me, keep my commands." What do you think Jesus wants from you today? Just to come to church? Just to sing a couple songs? Just to smile and shake hands? Or does he want you to do all those things and then accompany it with a sincere heart that obeys him? I think it's pretty simple. But I think too often we resemble that Old Testament church, just going through the motions. But I can promise you, you're never going to get closer to Christ by a sacrifice. You're never going to get closer to Christ by going through the motions. Obedience is what will change your life. David knew it.